From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is Brian Miskell, a bright, talented, and interesting young actor who is currently appearing at the San Francisco Playhouse through May 5th in the West Coast premiere of the odd and controversial Obie Award-winning drama The Aliens by playwright Annie Baker, which the New York Times called gentle and extraordinary. Please welcome to the field trip, Brian Miskell. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Well, first of all, congratulations on your performance and the success that The Aliens is enjoying at the San Francisco Playhouse.
Thanks so much. It's been extremely wonderful to be performing it.
Is this the first time you've worked with them?
Yes, this is actually my first time out in the Bay Area since I was about 4 years old, so it's been very hospitable.
How did you get the job?
I got the job because I knew Annie based on a workshop I had done on her work about a year ago, and I was able to work on a scene from this play for a class, and about 6-7 months later, I got a message from Annie saying that they were casting this play out in San Francisco, and if I wouldn't mind coming into audition, which I certainly did not. It's a wonderful play.
Wow, so it was the writer that got you the job.
Yes, it's probably one of the more fortuitous experiences of my career.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. Know somebody in the business.
Yeah.
Well, as I said in my introduction, you're a bright and very watchable upcoming young actor. Tell me a bit about yourself. Were you the kid that always put on shows for the family in the living room?
A little bit, yes. I have to admit, I was guilty of producing my own production at like age 8 of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and roping in family members into playing all the other parts with me. So eventually there were few people left to actually watch the show that we performed in the basement. But I was really excited and inspired by shows that my parents would take me to see as a kid. And then the more I grew up and started to do plays in middle school, junior high, high school, and then the more I started to read, the more I realized that this was probably the most interesting and inspiring area of life that I knew. So it was something that I've known for a long time I wanted to be involved in.
Well, and that led you to your training at NYU, and you studied there at the Lee Strasberg Institute.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
How was that experience?
It was wonderful. Some of my favorite actors have worked in method acting, and I think that the Institute was a really great place for me to learn to develop my skills and also to trust in them, which is, I think, hugely, hugely important, to trust on bringing my weirdness and my own life tics and eccentricity, my own experiences, and being able to use those to inform my understanding of characters and their behavior in a play.
So that's what people call the method.
Yes. If you can make it more personal and you can believe in it more fully, then you can have a better time of creating something deeper and more meaningful for yourself and the audience, I feel.
Yeah, good point. Well, I mentioned that this play, The Aliens, is controversial. On the night I saw it, there were both critics and audience members who either thought it was wonderful and that Annie Baker is a great new voice in theater, some compare her to Beckett, or others who thought it was simply slow and self-indulgent. There seemed to be no middle ground. So for those who haven't had a chance to see the show, talk a bit about the play, about your role, and what you feel this play is saying.
Well, it's about these two young men, two bearded young men in their 30s who are sitting behind a coffee shop in Vermont. They are artists. They are inspired by propositional calculus, artists like Bukowski and Henry Miller. They write songs together. One of them is a novelist. And they sit in this staff-only area in the sun in the summer until my character, a 17-year-old two-day employee of of the coffee shop comes along and is faced with the prospect of having to ask these bearded men to leave because they are not supposed to be in this area. And it's the humiliating and very frightening prospect of confronting these people that starts off the play.
What do you feel the play is trying to say?
Well, I think that it's in some ways a coming of age story. My character has, in meeting these two guys, is sort of taken under their wing. My character has no friends, no real contact relationships, no one who really asks him his opinion on life or on art. And these two guys give him an outlet, an opportunity to feel inspired, to create, and to sort of develop his own identity and personality. And I think it's really, really powerful look at how we can connect with other people, people that you might not expect to connect with, people you might not always ask the time of day if you were to pass them on the street. But if you do stop to ask an awkward 17-year-old like Evan Shelmerdine about his opinions on, say, the 4th of July, you might get an answer that is much more interesting than you expected. I think that the play deals with that. It deals with the idea of genius. It deals with the idea of what it means to be a genius, to be an artist, to be someone off the fringes of society. And is that, if your book is never read, is that less valuable? If your songs are never performed for an audience, does that make them less valid if you just sit behind a coffee shop and play them for each other? And I think that Annie really has a strong and powerful sense of ways to perform real life on stage in a way that's very unlike any other playwright I've ever seen. I mean, so many plays that you'll see, people will be speaking very, very articulately to each other at all times, and they will be very clever, and for an hour and a half they will say clever things to each other. And while that can sometimes be funny and extremely entertaining, I think it's really remarkable to be confronted by a play that shows you just how inarticulate we can be when we try to connect with each other in our lives, and what happens when you bump into each other and try to reach out and connect. It's very quiet. It's very challenging. It's very, very, very inarticulate, which is why I think so much of the play is spent in silence and pauses where people try to reach out to each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. It must be an interesting exercise as an actor who, you know, you usually get on your line and move it along. And with this play, there's lots of pauses and lots of long pauses.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hard to do as an actor?
It is very challenging, but it's also very, very freeing because luckily the other two actors and the director and I also strongly believe in Annie's sense of rhythm and her sense of life, that when it came to working on this play and seeing how delicately scored it is, she very specifically marks when a pause will happen, and a pause would be 3 seconds. Or a long pause, which might be 4 or 5, a silence, which could be 6. And by really strictly adhering to those, we found lots of really, really interesting moments that can happen while we're being quiet and just looking at each other. It's very scary at first, and it's very strange to do in front of an audience because you get this sense, to different degrees every night, that people don't know what to do with that silence like we do in life. We don't. People sometimes aren't very good at being silent with each other, and it's something often that you want to fill. You want to rush that, so it's hard to both resist that urge as an actor and to not concern yourself so much with whether or not the audience is enjoying your silence or worrying about what's going to happen next.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the other actors and the director. Why don't you give them a plug?
Absolutely. Lila Neugebauer is an extraordinary director. And Haynes Thigpen and Peter O'Connor are my two partners in crime in this play, and they are the bravest, most sensitive, most generous actors that I've ever gotten a chance to work with. And when you're doing a play that's this challenging, it's really important that you have collaborators that you can really completely trust on stage.
Sure. Well, the other thing I noticed is that it's a wonderful set.
Yes.
It's very detailed. For people who haven't seen the show, it's a backyard of a coffee shop, and it's detailed even down to the weeds growing out of the margins of the chain link fence. Was that Bill English who did the set?
That was Bill English, the artistic director of the SF Playhouse, who did the set for us, and he's also an extraordinary set designer. And Bill really dedicated himself to the real natural details of that space, which I think are crucial to making a play as realistic as this work. Between that and the amazing lighting and sound design that we have, we feel when we tumble out on stage very much that we've just stumbled into what a patio on July 2nd in New England would feel like. It's really extraordinarily warm and safe.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill did a great job with that set. And he and Susie Damolano, who operate that San Francisco Playhouse, really do a fabulous job.
It's a really special theater. And so I feel extremely at home when I come here. First of all, because I so fully believe in the mission of the SF Playhouse, and then to be greeted so warmly by their staff, it's been a really remarkable experience.
That's great to hear. Well, let me ask you this. I know that you do some industrial videos back in New York, and I guess my question is, what's life like for a young actor like you? How do you spend your work days? What's your average day in New York?
Well, I will be doing literary work for this off-Broadway theater, Rattlestick. I might be reading plays, distributing plays, organizing, dealing with submissions to the theater, reading them myself, or preparing stage readings for the theater. I might be, as you said, working on an industrial video, which would be for Intel, and that's the kind of thing that helps me put food on my table, but in a creative way as well. And then there's also a lot of auditioning, lots of seeing of other people's plays, doing whatever work I can be doing myself as an actor, and then fill in between, temping, catering, odds and ends, whatever it takes to make ends meet. It's kind of liberating and very exciting to be in New York working as an actor.
Yeah, so that's the life of a young actor in New York.
It's my life, at least. I think many people would have similar stories. You find yourself doing all kinds of things. And luckily, I've been able to work with really remarkable people that inspire me and will keep me busy and give me chances for amazing work.
Well, I read, I think maybe on your Facebook page or on LinkedIn, that your favorite quote is, "Stay hungry and stay foolish."
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sometimes known to take myself too seriously and take this too seriously, and I think that the balance there is always, and certainly when it comes to plays like this, is to be able to work really, really hard and then enjoy yourself an enormous amount once the work is done.
Well, for an interesting night of theater and a look at a young actor who I think is going places, don't miss The Aliens. It continues until May 5th at the San Francisco Playhouse in San Francisco. For tickets, go to sfplayhouse.org. And Brian, continued success to you, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Brian Miskell, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on the field trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org 24 hours a day, or as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.